Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. First of all, I feel a little selfish coming up here with a glass of water, Melvin. I'm sorry, I thought about it just as you were done. So I'd bring some up for myself, but I didn't bring some up for you. So I guess I'll have to take care of that later. But I like to take a swallow of water every once in a while. Yeah, I was blessed with what we heard this morning. Thank you for sharing, Melvin, on the sheep and the shepherd. I was, my thoughts, maybe before we start, why don't we just have a word of prayer? I feel in need of prayer. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness, for your faithfulness. You are faithful, like your word says, your mercies are new every morning. And Lord, we can depend on you. You're a solid rock that we want to build on. And Lord, we welcome you here. We invite you to be here amongst our midst, and we believe you are here. Lord, we just thank you for the words we've heard so far. We pray that you would continue drawing our hearts to you. Lord, especially as I think of some of the things you laid on my heart, Lord, just help me to be calm and have clarity as I present this. Father, we just also pray for there's some sick among us that aren't here today and also maybe traveling, Leon in Ecuador, and I'm not sure where seems to be more traveling done right now, I can't think, but I just pray that you would be with each one, bless each one here. In Jesus' name, amen. As far as, thank you, Brother Paul, for sharing the children's lesson as well. That was a good lesson, I think. I think your father had something good in mind when he was teaching you there. I was thinking about what you shared, Melvin, on the sheep and the shepherd, just reflecting a little bit on that and the nature of sheep. We have sheeps and or sheep, I guess we don't say sheeps. And I was thinking Davidson and us had a little bit of experience with our sheep. We wanted to separate two of ours and put them over to David's. And I guess I wasn't really a shepherd. We just had them outside there, as you know, and they eat grass, and I didn't pay much attention to them. I walk out every once. We have one ewe that she's really tame, and she comes up about every morning I go out to do chores, and she walks right up, and I can pet her and talk to her. But we also have some that are very timid, and I would like to spend more time there, but just a thought on that. That I think David mentioned it when we were trying to chase him, and by the way, it doesn't work very good. But so we have a 16-foot gate between our fence and David's fence, and we opened it wide. It was plenty of room, but they were not used to going through that. And we could get them up right there, but they would find one who had enough people. They went in there, but. This one that's especially, you know, in a way you could call it bad, but I just remember what you said, David. Why don't people be more like that? Why aren't we people more like that? We're cautious of something new. And that's actually partly what my message is about today. But this sheep, you know, she was like just, I can't quite. You know, her head was up, and she was just looking over there. She could have easily gone through, but she decided to try to make a run back the other way. Finally, we got him through, but she was not. It was not normal. It was not. It was something new, and it was just suspicious. And I was thinking about that after, and I want to come back to the message that. But just thinking about some of those things that Brother Melvin shared this morning. You know, my sheep know my voice. Do we know the voice of God? Do we know the voice of our shepherd? Or is he our shepherd? I guess maybe that's the first question. I trust he is. But I was just, coming back to my message, I was expecting, or we were expecting Dale Gish to be here. So I would have loved that. But I'm also inspired to just share a few words today and see what the Lord has for us. But I guess just giving a little backdrop maybe what I'm thinking. It was probably after the ministers' meeting in Mendon. Most of us, I think maybe all of us ministers were there part-time. And I don't know how all the rest of you felt. I know we talked about it, and we all felt it was very good. But I felt so refreshed. And I was pondering about that. Why do we need refreshment? Or why do we need, if we're Christians, why do we need encouragement? Or why don't we, you know, but it was just good to be there, you know. And I don't know, just cleansing, just affirmation that the Word of God is true. Just things like that went through my mind. So that's sort of where I'm just giving that, you know, things we face in life as we, I especially thought of the message that Paul shared on just the foundational truth of the Bible. It was so refreshing to me to just ponder about that. And then I started thinking, well, where do we really, I don't know how it is for you, but sometimes, depending on what we're facing in life, well, maybe I'll just share a few words that he shared. He talked about there's no new revelation. The Bible is it. It's the final word. It's the final word of authority. There's nothing better. There's nothing new. And so we can depend on, if something new comes up that we can depend on, just compare it with Scripture and let the Spirit of God in our hearts, you know, like you said, He will guide you in all truth. That's what Jesus said. I will go, and it's good that I go, and I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and He will come and guide us in all truth. And when our spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God connect, it's just so, so refreshing. And I probably didn't realize it, but sometimes it happens so subtly, so gradually, that we come to the point we start not, you know, I wouldn't say, I believe every word that's in the Bible, but in a way, we sort of come to the point where we start doubting. Is there some other way, maybe? Maybe there is something new that I just haven't discovered yet. And when I say that, I want to be careful. We don't have the idea that we know it all. But it's just that. And he talked about the I forget what he called it, but it'd be Joseph Smith, I guess. He mentioned his name. And I'm not that. I think he was the founder of the Mormons. Am I right with that? So it's like a new prophet after the Bible. And he just gave the account how he, and they go out to witness, which is good. They do, they actually believe in sharing their faith. And he talked about that, I'll just give it how I remember it. I'm not sure where it was, but it was in a town or a city. And he saw these two girls, and he recognized them right away that they are from that type of people. And he just wondered, well, what would happen if I would make the first move? You know, they're out there to witness. So why don't I just go over to them and start talking? And it gave me something to think about. But I won't go into detail there, but I was just inspired how he started sharing or asking questions. And one of them, this is one of the points I would like to just get our attention to today. And it's a question for myself. So one of the girls there that he was talking with started asking questions. She was actually interested in what he was saying. And the other one was, the more he shared, the more it was time to go. Hey, we have to go. She was very nervous. I'll just leave that now. What was the difference? They were both. That's just a question I want to leave with you right now, and maybe we'll get to that later. But those are questions that started coming to me of what is the difference? Now, they were both, I want to be careful that, I guess what I want to come to is the love of truth. Do we love the truth? And I think I'll just leave it there for now. You can turn with me to Matthew 11, and I'll read a few verses there. I was just inspired with this scripture. Here it was, I'll give a little backdrop. Maybe we'll read verse 1 to 6, and then this was John. He was in prison, and let's just start reading here. In verse 1, and it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison, this was John, he was in prison, the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Verse 6, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And he goes on then, talks to the rest of the people after his disciples leave. This is the scenario I get here, and brings out who John is. But so here we have this scenario of John. He was called by God. He was actually filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born, if I remember right, in Scripture. He was a forerunner of Christ. He was preparing the way for Christ. And here he's in prison, and I'm not sure how long, but it seems like he's doubting a little bit. But I pondered about that, and I thought there's a few things. Giving a little backdrop first is in John and Matthew 4. I forget which verse, I should have written it down. But it gives mention to when John was in prison. I think it's Matthew 4. Maybe it's 3 here. Maybe I'll have to leave that. But John baptized Jesus here in chapter 3. And then yeah, I'll just leave it. I think I should have written that. But there's a verse here in Matthew. I think it's in Matthew 4. And then in Matthew 14, it gives the account of why John was in prison. And I'll just touch that. So John was in prison because he said the truth to someone, to Herod. Herod had his brother Philip's wife, and John told him, it's not right that you have her. So therefore, he put him in prison. I'm not sure how long he was in here, but it seems like he's been in here a while. But John's end came. He never got released from prison alive. Here in Matthew 14, it says when Herod had a birthday, his brother Philip's wife, the wife that he was now living with, her daughter danced before him, and he promised her he would give her anything that she would desire. Maybe I'll just read this. Says, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask, and she being before instructed of her mother. So she was instructed by her mother. Obviously, they did not receive that truth. They did not receive what John told them was right, and they were offended. So she asked for John's head in a charger, it says. And I would think it was a big bowl. And that's really gross to think about that. I don't think any of you would desire something like that. I hope not. And I don't believe you do. But one of you girls would ask for that because the hatred. And she got influenced by her mom, obviously. But the hatred was so great. So they got rid of truth, right? I'll leave that. I wasn't going to go in there for the message. But let's ponder a little bit. I would like to go on an account here soon, maybe share. Sometimes I think I can get a point better across just by sharing some accounts in the Bible. Excuse me. So here was John. This was before he was beheaded. But I was inspired after I studied his account. So sometimes I wondered, why did John doubt? Why did he? But I think he was just wanting some refreshment. I believe he might have been questioning a little bit, but I believe he was faithful to the end. And what I was inspired with is he was in prison, he couldn't go himself, but he sent two of his disciples to the very source of truth, to the very source, to the foundation of truth, to find out what is truth. And, you know, that might sound, I think we all say we want to go with the Bible, we want to do that. And sometimes it can be, maybe it seems sort of confusing, and we stumble. But if we have a heart, a love for truth, I believe that sometimes we veer off the trail. It's like this, I just picture this aisle here. It's straight, goes right out those doors. And that's truth, okay? Let's just take that as truth. Here's the road we travel. And sometimes, as humans, we veer off a little bit, but we're still looking and we see that truth again and we go back right on there. If we have a love for truth, a love for the Lord, I don't think we just easily become deceived. It's not something of our own, but it's God. If we have that love for truth, and if we're, I had to think of some of the messages we heard here recently. Last Sunday, what you shared, Joshua, on brokenness, you know, I just thought that's one of the very foundational things that we need to have in our own lives. We need to be broken to self. Our own righteousness is just like filthy rags, but the righteousness of God is so beautiful. Let's continue. I would like to go to 1 Kings 13, there's an account there that I've pondered about, and I don't know if I still understand it, but there's some points in there that I would just like to, I hope I can make sense here. So when we think of, I didn't even give a title here, but I just wrote down the fountain of life. So the fountain, when we think of a fountain, I thought about, sorry, I should have maybe wrote it down, but maybe I'll leave it now. But the fountain, a fountain is, I picture there's different fountains, but it's water. Maybe we're walking and there's a, let's just take a picture of a park. It's a hot day and we're walking, and here we don't have any water with us, but we come to a fountain where water is flowing. It's drinking water, and it's crystal clear, it's cold, it's fresh, it's a spring. And, you know, there's about nothing so refreshing as that. So that's why I put the fountain, we need to have the clear, pure fountain of life to drink from. And that's the Word of God. Let's just read here. This is about this man of God, and I've wondered already. Maybe I'll just start in the front here, verse 1. And behold, there here in the 1 Kings 13. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born in the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign to the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. This was a, called a prophecy maybe. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again. So Jeroboam did not like what he said, what this man of God said, and he reached out, and his hand withered. But here it happened then, verse 5, the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. It happened what the man of God said. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and because as it was before, and became as it was before. Here in verse 7, and the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Here he talked about refreshment, And the man of God said unto the king, he had some instructions from the Lord, and here he gives them. He said, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, and the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet. He said, I'm just like you. I'm a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat in the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water, in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. There's a few more verses I thought of reading there, but what happened? This man of God had instructions from the Lord to go another way and not return. And he started, I just got the picture, he started relaxing, he was tired, and he stopped. If he would have just kept going, and I guess that's what I got out of there. If some of the points is sometimes we get tired maybe, and we just relax, we just let our guards down. And I'm not saying we have to walk around and feel the devil's behind every bush and we're so afraid to even live, but that we have faith in God and his word is true. But here, this man of God was going back home and he relaxed. In a way, it's sort of like, now I've done my mission, I'm done, and I'll just sleep here for a while. And this is when this old prophet, I would say he was a false prophet because he lied. And I don't understand for sure, but sometimes we get tested with things in life, just like this false prophet. And we hear another voice maybe saying, well, I'm just like you. No, come back now. The Lord changed his mind. I'm just saying that. I don't think we hear that literally. But I had to think of what Melvin shared from John 10. Says, the thief came not to, but to steal, kill, and destroy, which is Satan. I am come, that's Jesus, that you may have life, and that you may have life more abundantly. So that's the true source. And sometimes we get, I was just thinking, if I would have been this prophet and someone came and said, you know, I'm a prophet, I'm also a prophet from God. And the angel of the Lord told me completely opposite from what I had heard, from what I was told. What would I have done? I had to think of a scam. This is exactly what happened, wasn't it? He got scammed and he lost his life. See, we have scams all the time. People make their business doing scams. They might, you know, they try to get in people's bank accounts or whatever. And we hear these warnings, maybe from the IRS, or that we never call you, or the bank. We never just call you. We always maybe send an email or by letter if there's anything different. But if you just get a phone call, you know, I know I've gotten some already that sounded so legitimate that I need to do something right away because my bank account's in jeopardy. And it's just a, really? But you come to the point where those voices don't mean anything, hardly. But it's easy. And then if we get scammed, we wonder, why did we ever give in to that? But this is what happened here. This man of God had directions to not go back, and this false prophet came and told him different, that the same source that told you to not go told me to tell you to come back. Does that make sense? That's one of the points I would like to just have us ponder about. And that's why I thought it was so refreshing to just hear the word of God. Sometimes we get tired, maybe we get, but just it was so inspiring again to just sit there. But he lost his life, literally lost his life. And I think in spiritual sense, we can lose our salvation if we follow after and not come back. I want to be careful. I think we need to get tested to be grounded. I mean, those are just things that happen. If we'd never be tested, we would never solidify our faith. But the faith builder is, to me, it was a faith builder to just hear the word of God and just have someone. I'm not trying to lift up anyone, but Paul Shirk has a gift of teaching very clearly, just bringing out, it was just so clear to me, the word of God is, there's nothing better. There's just nothing better. And so this man of God, I thought this story is very interesting as a boy growing up. We hardly heard it in church, but sometimes the preacher would come across this story. But what happened is this man of God started going back again, and then a lion came out and killed him. And then the prophet, the false prophet, so he came to the scene, and there the lion was standing over his carcass and just standing there. But the false prophet, they brought him back, they buried him, and then they told his sons that when he dies, he wants to be buried beside this man of God. And I'm not sure, I don't understand all that. Maybe some of you brothers can understand it better. But to me, some of the points that stand out to me is that today I think God still does miracles. I'm not trying to diminish that at all. He's still the same God, but we have the Word of God. And I think I just want to encourage us all, the Word of God is the final authority. And I would like to touch a little bit, I don't have a lot more, but it might take longer than I think. So when I think of that verse in Matthew 11:6, where it says, "Blessed is he who is not offended on me," how would we be offended by the word of God? And I was thinking of Saul. Titus, you mentioned him last Sunday. I think he's about as clear an example as I could think of just instantly in the Bible that we read of a person that was offended by God. And when I say offended, it seems like offended in the Strong's in this, I didn't write the number down, but I looked up the word offended in that. It means to entrap, to trip up, stumble, or entice to sin. And I was pondering about that. Why would we trip up at the word of God? Or why would we trip up, I guess, or be enticed to sin? And I think it boils down to our own self, if we're broken, if we're have a love for the truth. But another character that I was thinking of was Abraham, and I won't go in all detail, but in Genesis we're all familiar, and I get so encouraged by reading that account again. I'll just briefly. So Abraham got in Genesis 12, he got called to move to a land where he didn't even know. And he obeyed, but along the way, it seems he stumbled a few times. The first that we read was when they went to Egypt, and he lied. He said that this is my sister, about Sarah, his wife. And she was a half-sister, but he lied there. And then also, it seemed he got back on the trail. And then I think his heart was always to serve the Lord, but he stumbled a few times. But as we see a progression, maybe the next thing I can think of was when, so God had promised him a son from his own bowels, it says. And then Sarah was barren. She couldn't have children at the time. So we can sort of think how this might have worked. She had a maid, they had a maid, and one day Sarah decided that this is probably God's way. Although God had told Abraham it'd be from his own balls, which I would take as be from my own wife, be from my from our own. And I know it was more in the culture that maybe more common that day, that time of that era or the culture they were in. But it was not God's plan. Anyway, she, you know how that all went. Ishmael was born. But God brought him back again. But what I see happening is, what I said a little bit ago, it seems like he veered off a little bit again. He listened to his wife's counsel, basically, and it was not right. But God, he came back again. And that's the I guess the encouragement for me is that if we do falter a little sometimes, let's come back to the Word of God. And I guess that's one thing I don't think I can express my appreciation enough for just to have brothers that are also seeking for truth and endeavoring to walk in that. And in that way, I think there's so much safety in the there's if there's counsel there, there's I just sometimes I just think, you know, if I would be by myself, it would be a lot harder. But Abraham, what I want to get to is the account where he offered up Isaac. Now he didn't, as you know, he didn't kill him, but he did offer him up in his heart. It just seems there's a progression of faith solidifying, if you follow. And that is so inspiring to me as young men, sisters. I guess I just want to encourage all of us. And today it looks so much, I can just so see so much more what my father tried to teach that I didn't understand. But it's all biblical, and that's a foundational thing for your children, all your younger children, is obey your father and mother. They're not perfect, but if you have a Christian father and mother that want to follow the Lord, it's so foundational for your life later on. So that would be one point as we come through this message. And as we exercise that, it brings us to the Lord, and we can so much better just follow the Lord and His Word. But Abraham, he came to the point here in Genesis 22, where he, there'd be a lot more to say about him, but he was asked, it came, I'll just read a few verses. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here am I. Here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. And I won't read all the rest, but it says, well, I want to get the next verse. That really... In verse 3, it says, And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Which one of us, I'm just asking myself, as fathers, which one of us would just rise up early the next morning? It doesn't say the next, but it says early in the morning. God would have told us that he had promised Abraham that his seed would be like the stars in heaven, like the sands on the sea, that many. And we couldn't have children until our late years. And then we have one son. And then God will tell me exactly opposite. Now, how does this all work? Here a little bit ago, I was saying how we should be careful. And I pondered about that. Here, God. But Abraham had a connection with the Lord. And in Hebrews, we read that Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. So God told him, "There's always a touching account for me." God told him to take his only son and offer him up for a burnt offering. And he just went. Do you see the progression in his faith? The solidifying. And that's what I would long for. That we just, I just got the picture of him at that point, that there could be storms all around him. He was just content to follow the Lord, whatever he says. And he went. It was a touching scene going up that mountain. Isaac asked him, he just asked him a legitimate question. Where here we have wooden fire, but there's no sheep, there's no lamb here. Abraham just told him that, you know, God will provide. And Isaac trusted that. Somehow they had that connection. It's just a beautiful scene. And I don't know, but it seems Isaac was old enough that he could have overtaken his old father. But it doesn't say everything in here, all the details, but I just picture that now's the time. They helped each other build up this altar, and Abraham just told Isaac, "You know what? God told me I'm supposed to lay you on here and just offer you up." And Isaac accepted that. That's just my picture I get. It's that brokenness that we all want. Whatever you say, Dad. Whatever you say, God. And I think, to finish this story, you know what happened. It's not new. But Abraham did not know what was going to happen. I like to think of that. We've heard this story numerous times growing up. But this, Abraham did not know what the outcome is going to be. See, we can tell the story, we can read it, we already know. So it sort of helps us to come through there. But let's just picture Abraham did not know it, but he trusted the Lord. Do we ever find ourselves in situations like that? I think sometimes we do. I've never experienced something like that. But it seems that, just going back to John in prison, we need to ask again. Maybe we need to have some encouragement. Maybe we need to have some, yes, this is still true. In a way, the angel of the Lord spoke to Abraham before he had he had his knife ready to make the killing stab of his beloved son. But Abraham got stopped. He said, "Abraham." He called him twice or three times. And he just said, "Here I am. Here I am." And he could look around. There was a ram in the thicket. But he got this great blessing because he was obedient to the word of God. Now, if we compare these two, and those were just the two, there's many others. We could think of Daniel, the faithfulness, Joseph, Moses. And, you know, Daniel and Joseph are two characters that we read of that almost seems like they were perfect, what we read, but they were still human. So what, I guess, I don't have a lot of points here. That's sort of the end of what I was going to share on that. I was just thinking, pondering, what are some things that we could, that we could just grab hold of, and this is the right thing. This is where we won't get deceived, or this is where we'll be safe. I don't know, do you get my thought? You know, especially as young men or sisters, or you know, we're grasping for truth. I think all of us want truth. We all want to be right with the Lord. But maybe that's the one thing. Do we really want truth more than our own way, than our own desire? And I think that is very foundational. I don't have a lot here. It seemed like I was inspired with some thoughts here, and I didn't know if I could get them in a message or not. But if we go to 1 Peter, and there's numerous scriptures that we could go to, I thought I would like to keep it simple here. First Peter 1, there's a few verses in here that have meant a lot to me already. And in 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23, I was just looking here if I should start. I guess I'll just read those. It says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying," that word obeying stood out to me, "the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Now those verses have been really, I guess, just solidifying. When I read those, it says that ye have been purified, ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and unfeigned love of the brethren. To me, that is, unfeigned means pure. It's uncolored. It's not mixed. It's a pure heart. It's a pure love. I'm not colored with bitterness. I'm not colored with whatever. And it seems those two things, I guess just an encouragement for all of us, go together hand in hand. Love of truth, love for the brothers. First of all, and then it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. It's not our own. It's not of, we're not just enacting something. It's real. It's something that's genuine. You know, it's so easy to sometimes maybe try to use our own efforts for something. But it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And verses like that just are very, to me, I guess my encouragement, as I said, I don't have a lot of points now here at the end to just bring out. I would just like to encourage all of us. Let's remember that here are some things that are very foundational, is that we are broken before the Lord. Our own will is sacrificed, like Abraham sacrificed Isaac, like we lay on the altar. And then we love the truth, we have love for the brothers. And yeah, I'll just leave it at that. That's all I have. And just open it up for any thoughts, and if you have something that, I guess my prayer was that maybe I could share enough that would get your minds going and think of something maybe totally different, but something that you were inspired with, and just search the scriptures in a deep way.